Good morning. Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. I'm Mandy Trimble, sitting in for Ann today. In the two decades following the Second World War, about 75 million Americans were born. We call them baby boomers. They are one quarter of the population. These days, Central Ohio is experiencing what you could call a baby boom. In 2013, more than 18,000 babies were born to Franklin County residents. According to new Census Bureau data, that's the highest number in the state by far. Is it something in the water? Well, probably not. It takes young people to make young people, and young people is one thing Franklin County has that other counties don't. Joining us now to talk about what this means for state and regional economics is Nancy Rieger, a demographer with the Mid-Ohio Regional Planning Commission. Welcome to the show, Nancy.
Good morning. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. When I hear the words baby boom, I have visions of ticker tape falling from the skies, the iconic picture of the sailor and the nurse kissing in Times Square in the end of World War II. But I'm pretty sure war is not driving Franklin County's so-called baby boom right now. Nancy, talk about that. What's behind this? Are we having a baby boom?
You know, historically, Central Ohio has been a place where people like to live. And as you'd mentioned, after the World War II period, there was a huge number of Americans born. And in the 70s or so, when they achieved college age, many of them came to Columbus to Ohio State. And because this is such a great place, many of them stayed. So over the course of those decades, as they grew up and grew through life, they had children, and now their children are having children. And so Franklin County isn't really experiencing a baby boom so much as that the demographics of this community are a little different from the rest of the state in that there's a broad distribution of the number of people within various cohorts. And a cohort is a group of like people from five-year increments. And if you look at a graph of Franklin County's population, rather than having a pyramid of babies and then a lot of people in their middle years, and then it gets smaller again at the bottom for elderly people, it's basically like a big square because there's a lot of babies, and there's a lot of teenagers, and there's a lot of young people, and then there's a lot of young parents, and then there's a lot of older parents, and then there's, you know, fewer elderly people. But over time, that graph is drifting down so that there's actually the smaller segment of elderly population is beginning to get bigger as the baby boomers, the babies that came here in the 70s,
right,
are approaching that 65-plus age period. But luckily, for Franklin County and for Central Ohio, the community itself is such that it's established itself as an engine to continue to generate people, which is different from a lot of the other counties in the state. Because the one thing about Central Ohio that a lot of the other areas of Ohio don't have are jobs, and that concept of achieving the American dream, going to college, getting a job, growing your family, or having a good life. A lot of people have found that dream in Central Ohio and didn't go back to Cleveland or didn't go back to Cincinnati or didn't go back to Dayton or Marion or Mansfield or Toledo or all of the other pieces of Ohio. So I guess one thing to think about, though, is that this has been happening for decades. And the rest of the state has been having its challenges for decades.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Central Ohio. You know, you said people come here and they don't leave. Ohio State plays a big role, I'm assuming, in the folks who, the young people who come here. And then we do have a lot of jobs, a lot of large companies here in Central Ohio, particularly in the Columbus area. Is that the driving force behind keeping these people here and not seeing the number of folks who don't go back to their other counties and the other counties who are losing their population?
I think that's part of it. That's a big part of it. The story is that younger people, the millennials or the generation two or three behind me, they would like to get a job wherever they want to live, which I think is true. That's why a lot of people have left Ohio or have left Franklin County, obviously, or central Ohio to go to the coasts or to Minneapolis or all of the cool places. But having access to a job is still a pretty big deal. And the other thing to think about is Ohio is a huge state. I mean, it's the seventh state in the country. It's big. And there's a lot of people here. And Columbus is, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hours away from your family if you didn't come from Columbus. So there's that access is also a nice piece.
How does Franklin County compare to the rest of Ohio counties as far as the population goes? I know in Athens County, it's kind of an older, more rural county, and it had some of the lowest birth rates in the county. So Columbus, Franklin County is, I guess, had the highest rate, birth rate in the county, or in the state rather, last year. So how does that compare to other counties, especially in our area and then in other parts of the state?
Well, I'm not sure it had the highest rate. It had the most number of babies born.
Okay.
But the difference in between Franklin County and Athens County, Athens is two counties in one. It's OU and then the rest of the county. But Franklin County is Ohio State and the rest of the county, and the rest of the county is a full-fledged community. You know, I mean, it's just a whole different dynamic.
We're talking with Nancy Rieger. She's a demographer with the Mid-Ohio Regional Planning Commission. We're talking about a so-called baby boom, if that's what you want to call it. Lots of babies born in Franklin County last year. If you have a question or a comment about this topic, give us a call at 614-292-8513. Or if you're at your desk at work, you want to send us an email, you can do that at allsides@wosu.org. Nancy, I wonder if Franklin County's success and its burst of young people that we have could have some kind of positive effect on the contiguous counties, the counties just adjacent to Franklin County, like Union County or Delaware.
It absolutely has. Franklin County is the big urban county, and people go through life, right? They come to college, as I said, they have their children, and sometimes they move out to other communities where they maybe feel the schools are better, or they maybe feel the housing choices are more appropriate for that stage in their life. So the counties around Franklin have obviously benefited greatly from this surge of energy that emanates out of the center of the state. However, with that positive, there come some challenges in that the people in those outlying counties, the demographics are not as distributed. They're not as diverse in terms of age or culture. So as that population ages, there has to be somebody, you know, to fill those houses. And those counties are continuing to grow quite a bit. Delaware still has been the fastest growing in the state for
Booming, right?
So, but planners in those communities are realizing, and developers who are driven by the market are realizing that as people in those housing stock age, they're looking for something different. So you might notice that there's more senior communities popping up in Delaware County and in Union County. It's the circle of life. It sounds kind of corny, but
well, and I also wonder if it's kind of the same thing. We're going to get to this in the next segment. We're going to be talking a little bit about Cleveland, but they've been losing people, and they are trying to reset things up there as to how they draw people into that area. Do the counties around a major area, if they're losing people and they're not doing so well, does that also have a negative effect on those counties around it as far as economics and people moving out? Does it also play a role in that?
Yeah, generally that urban county is where the jobs are. And so if the jobs are leaving because there's a perception by the business community that this is not a place where we want to do business, or that we have enough people to run our businesses, or that we have the right people to work in our businesses, then as those jobs leave, those adjacent counties, as I said, are being filled with people who have moved out oftentimes from that central urban county. And so it's, if there's a drive down by the urban county, then the peripheral area is going to suffer. But even now, I mean, if you look at the population estimates that were released recently, the suburban counties around the urban counties of Cuyahoga and Hamilton and Lucas, they're still growing, just not as much.
As fast a rate as, say, Delaware or even Union County.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
So, big picture, Nancy, what does this, you say it's not really a baby boom, but what does all of the young people and the growing number of families, big picture, what does that mean for Franklin County and Central Ohio as a whole?
It means good things for Central Ohio. It has to mean good things for Ohio for that to continue, though. A lot of the services that we rely on at the local level are supported by our local taxes, our willingness to pay those costs. But then a lot of the services that we rely on at the state level are dependent upon having people being willing to pay those costs and having enough people to pay those costs.
Right.
And so with Ohio having this, I wish you could see me, but it's this push to the middle that's been occurring for decades. I mean, this has been going on since the 90s. So it's time for the other communities in the state to be able to regenerate and to generate that growth. I'm from Northeast Ohio. So I'm one of those people that moved to Columbus and stayed. Mm-hmm. And I don't have any desire to go back to Cleveland. Cleveland's a great place, but it's my home here is now here. But there's certain parts of the state where you can almost map it and look at it and see that the energy of Hamilton County is beginning to breathe again. It's the number of people that left weren't as many this time around.
Mm-hmm.
The Cleveland area is beginning to breathe again. There's something going on up there, and it makes me feel hopeful because really, Central Ohio is great, and we have grown really quickly, and we have a lot of wonderful people here. What we need to do in Central Ohio in order to keep that growth going is to make sure that there's opportunities in terms of jobs, in terms of neighborhood choices, in terms of choices for communities, for people, for where they want to live, housing. We have to have fun things to do. I mean, people don't go to San Francisco because it's cheap. They go there because it's a place that they want to live.
They can thrive.
Right. And so Central Ohio needs to be one of those places that people know about and want to go to and visit and stay and live in.
Do you see any kind of danger or any kind of threats that would prohibit Franklin County and this area from keeping up this boom?
Not immediate threats, no. I mean, I don't think Ohio stands alone. Ohio's in the middle of a big region in the country that's mm-hmm. also suffering from those challenges, although we are surrounded by places like Pittsburgh, which is picking up. Detroit, for all of its oddness in terms of recent history, is beginning to breathe life back into itself. So, no, it's. I guess the biggest worry is to not be aware, to not prepare, to just assume things are going to continue as they have, because they aren't guaranteed to do that. And people's desires change with time. That the wishes of the generation that's now coming into adulthood of where they want to live, how they want to live, is not the same as their parents at that age. And so it's recognizing that, and not necessarily quick jump, shift everything that way, but just accept it and know it and plan for it and be aware of it and build for it.
All right. Well, we're going to continue this conversation when we get back from a break. Nancy, you're going to stay with us, I hope. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher. I'm Mandy Trimble here on 89.7 NPR News. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. I'm Mandy Trimble, sitting in for Ann today. We're talking about Central Ohio's so-called baby boom, if you will, which stands out in contrast to the rest of the state, where birth rates are lower. In 2010, census numbers from the Cleveland metro area set off something of a panic when data revealed the city had lost 17% of its residents over 10 years. Fearing brain drain and loss of innovative young blood, their Chamber of Commerce may have wanted to lock the exit door. But what they may not have known is other cities, even prosperous ones, lose far more residents. And experts say rolling out the welcome mat is just as important as getting locals to stick around. Joining us now to tell us more is Jim Russell. He's a research consultant at the Center for Population Dynamics at Cleveland State University, and he's joining us from Washington, D.C. Jim, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good morning. How are you?
Doing well. How are you, Jim?
I'm doing well as well.
Great.
I'm glad to be here.
Great. Well, we're glad to have you. I recently read 75% of Ohioans were born in Ohio, and Cleveland held that same stat. Given Cleveland has seen a decline in population in recent years, that figure holds some key, I think, information about what's going on there and the economic outlook. People are leaving Cleveland, and the loss is not necessarily being replaced by migrants or people going into Cleveland who aren't from that area. Jim, what does that tell you?
Well, generally, it tells me that there's a lot of demographic inertia built up that, in manufacturing states, you tend to see high percentages of the population being born in-state, and that's because during the downturn, there's no reason for people from other states to move there. And so when you see such a statistic, it's usually a bit alarming because that means the place isn't seen as one of opportunity, a place you should move that's better than where you live.
Yeah, I was reading about the important role that migration plays in an area's economic success. I was reading that it brings different ideas, more capital, both human and financial capital. Can you, Jim, expand on why it's important for cities to focus on migration?
Sure. When there are ways of doing things, or if you want innovation, generally speaking, you want migration. So you can think of immigrants, and they're well associated with entrepreneurial activity, and that's because migration itself is like a startup. It takes somebody who's willing to take a big risk and go someplace where they don't know anyone. But once they get there, what they bring is another way of doing things. They look at what's going on, and they see something like, "Hey, how come they're not doing what we do back home?" And it's that kind of observation that usually spurs job growth.
We're speaking with Jim Russell. He's a research consultant at the Center for Population Dynamics at Cleveland State University. Still with us is Nancy Rieger. She's a demographer with the Mid-Ohio Regional Planning Commission. And we're talking about demographics, and specifically right now, how migration plays a role on local economics. If you have a question or a comment about this, you can give us a call at 614-292-8513, or shoot us an email, allsides@wosu.org. I'm curious how Franklin County's migration numbers compare to state figures, and I'm guessing because of Ohio State and larger companies in the county, the percentage is lower than that of Cleveland, that we have more people in Franklin County who aren't necessarily from here. Do either of you have any idea what those numbers look like?
I don't know the statistics off my head, but I do know that Franklin County has attracted growth from all counties in Ohio and actually from all states and actually from many countries as well. And Cleveland is the same way. But I think one of the differences between the central Ohio part of the state and the northeast Ohio part of the state, as Jim alluded to, is the labor needs. The diversity of the jobs in central Ohio is a little broader, or historically has been broader, than that of northeast Ohio. And so I think that some of the choices that people have in front of them when they come to central Ohio are maybe a little bit broader historically than they have been in Cleveland.
Jim, do you have any idea about central Ohio's migrant numbers and how they might compare to the Cleveland area?
Well, sure. I mean, generally speaking, in terms of net migration, central Ohio will look a lot better, will be a lot more positive than somewhere such as northeast Ohio. What I do is dig below those numbers, and I'm interested in where are those people coming from and why. And what you'll get in central Ohio is a much more regional kind of migration, so like county to county within Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas northeast Ohio, you're going to get a lot more in-migration from faraway places.
Why is that?
Well, I think generally because, like central Ohio, Columbus is the state capital. So you have a long history of drawing people from other parts of the state just by nature of being the state capital. And you'll see this in states across the country. And, state capitals tend to have higher educational attainment rates, but also just the growing economy of government draws people, particularly from areas that are seeing decline in employment thanks to loss of manufacturing. So Columbus had a built-in advantage with a diversified economy thanks to government. And whereas Northeast Ohio has been more dependent on these kind of larger, less parochial kinds of economies that must rely upon talent from other places. So we've seen a change in the exchange of people with New York City, that in recent years, more people are moving from New York to Cleveland than from Cleveland to New York.
That's interesting. Nancy?
I just also want to say one more thing. In terms of migration, it's Ohio actually attracts a lot of people from other parts of the world. And in the Franklin County area, about a quarter of our growth is from international migration. And part of that is because of the nature of the place, that we have a big part of our economy is based on freight and distribution. And so there's people that are attracted to that work style. There was a lot of construction here, so there's people that had skill sets and saw this was a place to come to do that kind of work as well. But I guess it's important to note that those populations have stayed and that they're growing communities here as well. So it's changing the dynamics of the region, as well as the same story in Northeast Ohio area.
Let's talk a little bit about the phrase brain drain. It's had such I guess it has a negative connotation to it. We've always been told it has it can be a detriment to the community. But what I'm learning now is that's not necessarily the case, that it's not really about replacing population loss one for one, but rather the quality of the replacement. Jim, you've looked into that. Can you expand on that a little bit about how brain drain isn't necessarily so bad and how people are, how communities should be focusing on replacing those losses?
Sure. I think typically brain drain is often associated just with people leaving or population decline more generally. And, no one likes to see people leave their hometown. I think they take it as a personal slight, or that there must be something wrong with the place, or else they wouldn't have to leave. Whereas I look at migration as much more aspirational, saying, well, I want to go somewhere. And so it's very useful, again, to get people moving to your community going from elsewhere, but really retention itself doesn't do you much good along those same lines. And, you can even look at net migration numbers and say, oh, well, in Cleveland, it's negative. Well, you dig into that and you're seeing something like, the people who are leaving and there's more of them leaving than people arriving, but the people who are leaving have less than a college degree. But the bulk of the people arriving have college degrees. So you're seeing the number in Northeast Ohio of people, particularly young people, 25 to 34, with college degrees growing rather dramatically. Yet all the publicity and in the press are talking about, negative net migration and declining population. But the fact of the matter is Cleveland's experiencing brain gain when everyone's wringing their hands about brain drain.
And that has positive effects on the local economy, too. If you're getting more folks in who are educated and then they're making more money and then that's more revenue for the area.
Yeah, definitely. And you're seeing, in Northeast Ohio, we're seeing rise in per capita income. And you're saying, how's that going on? It's losing population. Things are bad. Why is per capita income rising? And so when we dig into those migration numbers, we see, the reason is because people with college degrees or graduate degrees are moving into Northeast Ohio and they're taking well-paying jobs, driving the economy.
We're talking about demographics and migration this segment on All Sides with Ann Fisher. We have Nancy Rieger. She's a demographer with the Mid-Ohio Regional Planning Commission, and Jim Russell, who's a researcher with the Center for Population Dynamics at Cleveland State University. If you have a question for either of them about demographics or baby boom, you can give us a call at 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. Jim, can you talk about some cities that have experienced population loss but held successful campaigns to attract people and have improved their local economy without necessarily replacing that total net loss, as you say?
Sure. The best example, I think, in the country is Pittsburgh, which for decades has had population loss and even net out-migration. But you're seeing the workforce grow, you see per capita income go up, and you see the number of people with college degrees increase. And, and Pittsburgh has one of the fastest growing college educational attainment rates in the country. And all that is happening while population is declining, and net migration has been negative. Now, recently, the net migration is trended positive. I mean, it's such a small number; it's hard to say really where it is on either side of zero. But unequivocally, the workforce has grown; it's at historical record highs. The workforce is better educated, and it's very rare to find communities that had very low college educational attainment rates that grow to have high college educational attainment rates. So Pittsburgh is also exceptional in that case. But I don't know if you could say it's because they've done a good job in attracting. I think what they've done a good job is educating the local workforce.
How do you get Cleveland to kind of switch gears? I know that an article that I read that you wrote or were a part of, you blame the lack of migrants to the area in Cleveland for the city's lack of effort to court them, if you will. And I think part of that goes back to all the consortiums and the campaigns over the years tied to preventing brain drain. I guess first, is there somewhat of a reluctance in Cleveland to attract outsiders and other cities that you may have studied that, they just have a reluctance to kind of lay down the welcome mat, if you will?
I don't know if there's necessarily a reluctance. I think there may be, in some regards, just an inability to do so. When you have these communities that have experienced so much out-migration and so little in-migration, that you have people who've been there all their lives and they haven't had a lot of outsiders around. So that can be intimidating. But I think for the most part, what really ends up hurting a place like Cleveland or even Pittsburgh and other Rust Belt cities is just the image that they have as dying cities. Mm-hmm. And why, you graduate from a college in Philadelphia area, the Boston area, the Bay Area, wherever, why would you move to a dying city? it's just not on your map. And so even if that's not the case, that it isn't a dying city. People do not have that perception. I think for the most part, migrants really don't respond to whether or not a community is welcoming. They're going to move wherever they're going to move, or usually for economic opportunity. And, it's very difficult to make a go of it in New York City, as anyone who has lived there can tell you. It's expensive. It's hard to get a good job. You're living in cramped quarters. Commuting to and from work is a nightmare. And yet people come in droves. But also on the other hand, you look at 2000 to 2010, the number of people who left New York City, well over 3 million. Over 3 million people left New York City in 10 years. That's not a ringing endorsement of a place if you just focus on that part of it.
Right.
But it takes in so many people. So many immigrants come there that I think that the sense of economic opportunity overrides the difficulty of place. And it's just that Cleveland's not on the map yet. It's just beginning to get there.
How do you get Cleveland to switch gears and be on that map?
I think it does start with local recognition. Stop being so concerned about brain drain. Really, one of the best things about Cleveland is that people don't just leave and say, go to Columbus or go to Cincinnati or go to Detroit or somewhere local. They're going to New York City and Chicago, and they're doing really, really well. And you're beginning to see the return migration because of that. And for Cleveland to recognize that, hey, people are moving to Cleveland. People are moving back. And they're bringing successful careers and successful spouses with them. Is to highlight that and, kind of change the culture and the attitude from one of, we're not worried about people leaving, we're staying focused on who's coming here and what they want to do.
I wanted to
say one thing. In terms of brain drain is either people leaving or the knowledge leaving. And with Ohio getting older and the baby boomers starting to leave the workforce, maybe not as fast as some of they had hoped, but that basic institutional knowledge is also starting to walk out the door. And so that in itself could be a selling point opportunity, that there are a ton of jobs here that could be filled with new young professionals ready to step into those seats. So that's something that Cleveland has, that actually all the cities in Ohio have, are big companies that have a lot of opportunities that are, they're going to be having some empty directorships pretty soon. So I hope that we take advantage of that.
All right. Well, we're going to have to leave it there, Jim. Russell, we appreciate you being on the show today. We're going to continue the conversation about baby boom and demographics after the break. Stay with us. Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. I'm Mandy Trimble, sitting in for Ann today. The baby boomer generation is now between the ages of 50 and 70. They were the ones born after World War II, the biggest cohort in American history. And taking a cue from their grandparents, residents of Central Ohio have also begun reproducing at a fairly decent rate here, at least compared to the rest of the state. While a majority of the state's counties saw a net loss of residents last year, Franklin County experienced an increase, and new babies were not the only reason for the population increase last year. More than 7,000 people moved into the county. Joining us to discuss the economic impacts of these demographic shifts is economist Bill Lafayette. He owns Regionomics here in Columbus. Welcome back to the show, Bill.
Thanks, Mandy.
And still here with us is Nancy Rieger. She's a demographer with the Mid-Ohio Regional Planning Commission. Thanks for being here, Nancy.
Thank you.
If you have a question about the so-called baby boom here in Central Ohio, or demographics and how migration patterns affect local economics, you can give us a call at 614-292-8255. 8513 or send us a quick email at allsides@wosu.org. Franklin County last year gained about as many people as the state lost in population. And after hearing about the work that Cleveland has ahead of it to improve the number of people moving into this city, it sounds like Columbus and Franklin County are doing something right. Bill, how do things look in our county and our region here right now?
Well, our region's doing really well economically, both compared obviously to the state, but also compared to the U.S. The U.S. still has a little bit of ground to cover in order to make up all the jobs lost in the recession. Central Ohio made back all the 53 or so thousand jobs that we lost in the recession as of March 2012. And if memory serves, we're something like 30-some thousand jobs to the good. So we are the shining star, certainly of the state, and probably one of the shining stars of the U.S. as a whole.
And I would venture to say that these jobs is what is driving a lot of this boom. I know we can't really say it's a baby boom, technically, as Nancy would say, but we're doing better than the rest of the state as population. And I guess you could say that those jobs and the decent local economy is driving that.
Yeah, it's certainly a big factor because, as Nancy said earlier, you need jobs in order to attract residents.
What can other Ohio cities learn from Columbus, particularly those who are struggling right now to get people to move into the city and keep folks there?
Well, I'm thinking that it's a long-term fix. It can be fixed, but in order to understand what you need to do to fix the problem, you have to understand the problem. And I think what the problem stems from is the reliance of the Ohio economy as a whole on two sectors, manufacturing and agriculture, both of which are very good, solid sectors. And it's to our advantage to have those concentrations. But the point is that neither of them are growing the number of jobs that they used to in the old days, because in both sectors, you're seeing a huge transfer from things done by people to things done by machines. And so if you've built up your economy over decades and decades relying upon a large population base and these 10, 20,000 body manufacturing firms, you don't have that anymore, you've got some work to do to recover that. So I think part of what the challenge is to figure out growing sectors that are offshoots of your primary sectors, suppliers and so forth, whose workforce may be growing, to bring those in as sort of adjuncts to your existing manufacturing focus and help your manufacturers and also help your economy as a whole. And you must focus on training initiatives.
We're talking right now with Bill Lafayette. He owns Regionomics here in Columbus, as well as Nancy Rieger with the Mid-Ohio Regional Planning Commission. If you have a question about the local economy and demographics here in Central Ohio, you can give us a call at 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. Just before we went back on the air, Bill, you were mentioning there's a change in consumption and revenue and diversity. Mm-hmm. And I guess you were kind of saying this is a potential downside to a population boom. Can you expand on that? Talk about that a little bit, what you meant by that?
Well, really, it's kind of the other side of this equation that we've been talking about since you went on. yes, there are babies being born, but those of us in the baby boom are getting older by the minute, and over the next decade, the growth of people 65 and older is going to be huge. The growth of 65 and older individuals is going to be 44% of the total growth rate of Central Ohio. It is going to be 10 times the growth of Ohio as a whole. The important thing to realize there is that as people age, their consumption patterns change dramatically, especially after they retire. I'm doing some work with the Center for Community Solutions on that very topic right now, and it's a dramatic drop in the amount of spending. And so if you're a county, your income relies heavily on sales tax. Mm-hmm. If you're a municipality, your income relies heavily on payroll tax. And so as you get more and more people retiring, you really hit the revenue streams of both municipalities and counties. The problem really is that the way the statutes are set up, that's where they get their money from, which worked in the old days, may not work so well now.
Let's go to the phones quickly. We have Joe from Westerville. Joe, welcome to the show. You have a question for Bill. Go ahead with your question.
Yeah, Bill, I was wondering about the effects of us not getting a train transportation from Cincinnati through Columbus to Cleveland. How does that affect Central Ohio of not doing that?
Well, I think that I am by no means a transportation expert. That's possibly more a question for Nancy, but over the long term, as you pour more and more and more cars onto I-71 and onto our freeway systems as a whole, those freeway systems start to clog up. That means that our commutes here in Central Ohio, which are now, believe it or not, very good, those commutes get longer, but it also means that it's harder to get freight into, through, and out of our region, which hurts our crucial logistics sector. So we have to think very carefully about how we're going to diversify away from our reliance on one car, one driver on the highway. And we've got to come up with a range of public transit options.
Yeah, I want to agree with Bill. It's all about diversity of the transportation system, and it's at the scale of how that system is being used. So interstate systems and rail lines support that long-range, long-distance transportation that mm-hmm. keeps the economy moving and keeps people interested in some regards to being in Columbus. But then at the local level, there's a diversity of transportation that needs to take place as well in terms of expansion of bikeway systems and sidewalks and just making it so that people aren't necessarily all the time dependent on their vehicle if they don't want to be.
Thanks for the call, Joe.
Great question.
Bye-bye. That is, and that's interesting, too, because if you do have trains and you have these the ability to go easily from city to city, that could also affect your migration pattern, I would think, and the number of people who want to come to the area. So that would have a greater impact, too.
Just the cool factor. I mean, honestly, if a place is a place that people have heard about and are interested in and want to go there, and they'll go. So.
Mm-hmm. When you talk to younger folks want public transit. I'm the rare baby boomer that takes COTA all the time. I shouldn't say that, I guess. But it's public transit options in general, are just crucial, crucial to attract the younger, young professionals that we as a community want and need to attract.
We have time for another quick call. Mark from Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show. What's your question or comment?
Yeah, I just want to follow up on something that Dr. Lafayette mentioned. One of the good things that Columbus did many years ago was to establish essentially a regionally funded sewer and water system.
Mm-hmm.
And we really need to figure out how we finance all of these services as both population grows and people go to other places. This problem is faced a lot more by Northeast Ohio than Central Ohio, but it certainly is something where people go determines where cities and counties and townships get the money to pay police officers, firefighters, and folks to pick up the trash. So this conversation is really important, and we need to keep it going.
Thanks for the call, Mark.
Thank you.
And that was something that you alluded to a moment ago, Bill. As this large baby boom sector cohorts, they begin to retire, we have less revenue coming in because of income or, you said, consumption patterns. That's going to be important as cities look to the future. What are the conversations going on right now about this here in Central Ohio?
Well, I have raised this point, and I think there is an understanding of this point, but essentially fixing the problem is going to require work at the State House because it's, again, the way the statutes are set up. Government units, no matter who they are going to have to figure out ways to diversify their revenue streams, both to increase their stability and to ensure their long-term growth. Because, as Mark just pointed out, we've got greater and greater needs for services, and if the revenues aren't keeping track, there's going to be serious, serious problems down the road.
Nancy, were you going to add something?
I also just wanted to mention, in addition to increasing revenues, there's also cutting costs. And so,
most certainly.
So sharing costs, finding smarter ways to do business. And I think a lot of the governments in Ohio are really, really looking at that and really working on finding ways to do that.
So how long can Franklin County sustain all of this, sustain the growth, sustain the loss that's coming up? What are we looking at for the future here?
I think for the region as a whole, there is the likelihood, if we play our cards right, of continued sustained growth. The problem is that we in Central Ohio, I think, need to think about the rest of the state and the impact of the rest of the state on us a lot more than we do. Because, as I always say, the customers of the companies here are out there. And if out there is struggling, the companies here are going to fail to grow to their potential. And so we have tremendous opportunities, really, to collaborate with the rest of the state because we've got all these different, very different microeconomies around the state with different focus industries and different types of workforce. And it's not much of a leap to think that the gaps of in the economy in Central Ohio, in terms of industries that we aren't focused on, our focus is out there.
Well, we're going to have to leave it there. It's been an interesting conversation today. Bill Lafayette, thanks for being here. Nancy Rieger, thank you for joining us. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. I'm Mandy Trimble. Thanks for listening this morning.